Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Taiwo Dukoya, the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Church. It is our prayer that the message you're about to hear will no doubt shape your destiny in Christ. Be blessed as you listen.
It was in the year 1905, and this couple, Baptist ministers, don't know where they lived in the U.S., but they were visiting New York. Their surname, Martin. They were visiting a family friend in New York. They got so used to this family that this day while visiting, the reverend gentleman could not help it but to ask a question from the couple. The couple's name, from what I read, Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle. The peculiar thing about them was this, which prompted the question that Reverend Martin asked. The woman was bedridden totally. The man, an incurable paralytic. So he moved around on wheelchair to the grocery, to his vocation, around the home. Now, here was a couple, one totally bedridden, the other that could move around on wheelchair to do everything. But there was something about them that was palpable, the joy of the Lord. So wondering how they were getting along, Reverend Martin said, "How do you manage?" Then the woman on the bed said, "His eyes is on the sparrow." And Mrs. Martin, being a songwriter and a poet, said, "This is a devotional." Then she penned down the words of the song you just heard. And of course, the minute she said that, what hit her was, this is Matthew in chapter 10. And she penned down the wordings and sent it to an accomplished composer, forgotten his name now, and he gave the tune to it. That was how that song came to be. So the passage of scripture that it came from is what I just want to read now. Matthew chapter 10. I'll try to stick to a note today if I can. From verse 27. It says, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." I'll tell you why. Because this was part of the admonition to the 70 that he sent out. Okay. So verse 28. "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, that is, without your Father's will? That the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." You see the same account in Luke chapter 12. The only difference is where it says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper, or rather for a farthing?" Chapter 12 says, "Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings?" Which of course tells you that these animals are so cheap, come on, that for a farthing you get two. For two farthings you get four and an extra. That is, they will throw one in for you. Cheap. Talking of value. And what finish any? When you buy 2 farthings, they'll give you 4. What to fee any see? That's a jara. Mazy. Said. And God says, He cares so much for Mazy. Any jara, how much more you? And that was what prompted his eye is on the sparrow. So our situation is simple and small with him. You see, some will take what we read in the Bible literally. It's okay. God will still move. Some will take it academically. They believe in God will still move. Some will take it metaphorically. God will still move. I said that to say this. I'm coming back to the scripture in a minute. In the late 50s into the early 60s, I read this too. Chairman Mao of China, you know, improving the lot of the Chinese, went out on a campaign of getting rid of the rodents. I'm sure some of you have read it. Get rid of all the mosquitoes. All the rats, all the flies, then included the sparrows. And it was such a stern move that the students were encouraged, farmers, hunters, civil servants, everybody. You see, good move, but bad. You know why? He included the sparrow. Why? The sparrow, now I'm not making a doctrine out of this, I'm just saying if you take it literally, the sparrow has a special place. They said by 1916, early 60, I think before 61, thereabout, they had killed close to 5 million sparrows. Far much more. The sparrows. Everywhere was looking neat, fantastic. In fact, one account said that a certain number of them, I think about 10,000 of them or so, will eat a certain amount of grains, but that will feed 60 full-bodied men, adults. And so let's get rid of them. Okay, so they did. But the following year's yield was a disaster. You say how? It was so bad that Chairman Mao had to go on the air to announce and decree nobody should kill a sparrow again. You say why? Because sparrows feed on only 2 things, grains and insects. And so having wiped them out, some toxic insects that they didn't notice before started raining. So much so that the yield of rice and their main food, staple food, is rice. I mean, it was terribly destroyed. The yield was terribly low. In fact, the worst famine in Chinese history happened at that time. Some said that, well, there were other underlying factors, maybe, but the sparrow thing was major. It was so bad that they started importing sparrows from Russia. How? They said with the low yield and what they were still struggling with because of the attack of other insects, a swarm of bees attacked the farms. Sparrows would have fed on these bees. Locusts, rather. They would have fed on them. But there was nothing to feed feed on the locusts. They devastated every grain. So he reversed his decree. Still talking on this sparrow. They are not the best of birds. Can be very untidy. They like to just hang around where people live. If you allow the sparrows, they will build their nest right in here. If you allow them. Even in palaces, they don't care. They don't respect anywhere. They just build. In the Psalms, he said, even the sparrow has found his nest, even on the altar of the temple. Isn't there? Is there in the book of Psalms? And so they disturb people. Hello. Hallelujah. Just want to pull everything I'm talking about them from the scripture as much as I can. I think it's in the book of Psalm, I think 102. It says, I lie awake and I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop, because they're such a social bird. They go in flocks. And so the Bible would describe loneliness, a lone sparrow. That's loneliness. But you see, what we're saying is this. As insignificant as these birds are, God is saying, these are the measures of what I do. I can sense the Holy Ghost somewhere in you. Don't you ever think that God forgets you. No, he doesn't. So his eye on the sparrow is, I don't forget my creatures. I don't. I don't know who I'm talking to particularly now, and you feel so abandoned and so lonely on earth. His eye is on this sparrow. Yeah? His eye is on the sparrow. Let me just say a little bit about what exactly Jesus was saying. He tried to make you understand, paint the picture of how insignificant these birds are. I look at this contemporarily. Only 2 days ago, our youngest son came with a small cage. He said, hey, mommy, I have a cage. He wants to catch a bird. They are toys for children. They are nuisance to adults. They are prey to some other birds and other creatures. As a matter of fact, in many native areas, they are delicacies. Apparel. Am I right? So you see how vulnerable they are. How insignificant they are. And so Jesus says, are 2 sparrows not sold for a farthing? Jesus said it. And that's what makes it very important to me. Are 2 sparrows not sold for 1 farthing? And not one of them, hello church, not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. He didn't say their Father. He said, your Father. And amazingly, I was preaching today on how with God there is nothing that is impossible. And how at the time Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane got so troubled and he turned up to his Father. He said, Abba, Father, I know with you all things are possible. And he made a request, let this cup pass. But he ended by saying, not my will, but your will. Here Jesus is saying, the will of God is such that not one sparrow, no matter how easily they are dealt with, not one is dealt the measure of cruelty that you see without his permission. He's such a detailed God about his creatures. Hello? Now, let me leave that and just quickly jump to chapter 6 of Matthew before I begin to draw my conclusion. In chapter 6 of the book of Matthew, he said, verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink. Now about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Hallelujah. Look at the birds of the air. Because sometimes when the word sparrow is used in the Bible, it's referring to the fowl of the air. And like we see it here, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And here again, we find what we found in chapter 10. It says, are you not of more value than them? Praise the Lord. And so, as insignificant and vulnerable as these animals are, you will never see them hungry. Hello. Praise the Lord. I say, praise Jesus. It says, they don't sow, they don't reap. But what do they eat? They eat grains, which must grow. And when man that would plant grains thought that they were a nuisance and tried to get rid of them, he saw that he invited more troubles. And such is the way of God. Some will never get to where they're going until you are taken care of. Let me leave it there. Somebody got it, because I heard the sound of, I heard something. Let everybody struggle all they want. And you are being put down because of your Jesus. They can't get there. The more you are relegated, the more you are put down, the more it becomes I feel the fire. If I were you, I will stop worrying now. You know, when I get to this kind of place in my meditation, I say, no wonder, is that why? Could that be why you said to Miriam Martha? Martha, you worry too much over too many things. Mary has chosen one thing, and that's the most important, and no man will take it from her. And that one thing will give her everything she will ever need for assignment in life. I'm coming to conclude the matter very soon. I'm just laying them down. But so I don't forget, let none of you again in your life ever think, I'm abandoned. I am stuck. It's an insult to your Creator and to your Savior. Don't you ever, haven't you read from the book of Psalms? Even when my father and my mother will abandon me, then God will pick you. He has many means, he has many options to do it. I believe in the name of Jesus, as simple as this meeting is, it will affect destinies. When I say destinies are destinies, and much more the ones we are going to be sent to. Because many will just look at you and get the courage they need to live and to continue in the name of Jesus. I'm in chapter 6, I know. I like that. The fact that they started before you means nothing. They can't get there until your assignment, which seems like is in trouble, until that assignment is concluded. They will set time, they will set resources and time aside to make sure that you get there. Jesus Lunjabe. That's the definition of our Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Today is our day. That's why you are seeing here happening. And you are not left out. I assure you in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, Father, my Father, all things are possible with you. Will somebody dare believe him like that here today? All things. What with men are impossible, not with the God we serve. Ali wille she. Can't you see that it's not like it used to be anymore? You are special in the hand of God. He says, they don't toil. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather into barns. But they never, never suffer lack. I like to still look at his words because I like. And if you observe, whether it's in chapter 6 or chapter 10 or Luke 12, all these things I'm saying, he has both garnishing them with, do not fear. Do not worry. Did you know it would go this way? No. But I knew that for everyone who will come for him, he will satisfy them. I knew. Oh yes, in Jesus' name, I knew that he will satisfy them. That's the God. I just felt his power. I was saying he will satisfy them. It was like I said, you two here. And I like it. Again, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink. Nor about your body. What you will put on. Then he asks a question. Human beings lack priorities. Is not life more than food? You are battling for food. Which one is more important? Food or life? You are crying for clothes. Which one is more? Clothes or the body that you wear? And the body more than clothing? He now says, look at the birds. Your own heavenly Father provides for them. Are you not of more value? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? I like that. Because you see, in the time of troubles, God is looking for the person who will be the solution. And he will walk through your spirit with your mind to prove a solution. There is that same mind that worry takes over. So it prevents creativity. You see, in what we shared in the morning, Jesus said, I am beginning to be troubled. My soul is beginning to get distressed. He mentioned his soul, not his spirit. And he gave us the antidote. What is it? He said, you guys, watch. I am going to pray now. I can feel the heat coming. Let me pray. Because men always ought to pray and not faint. And he said to disciples, pray lest you fall into temptation. So you don't begin to allow your judgment and your choices and decisions go the other way when the real thing is still here. You see, but so when it comes to provision, say to yeah, Okay. Okay. You probably wanted to do something. You know you have to do it. You will still have to do it. I don't know what it is. But it requires money. It's something you need to do for yourself or your family. But somehow you want to postpone it now because of the economy. Can I advise you, from what I'm hearing, go and do it now. Why are you postponing it? Pastor, if I do it now, the money will not come back. Okay. Which one do you prefer? The money coming back? You doing it and thinking the money will not come back? Or the money just disappearing in your hand? Because you fail to understand that God that gave you the money in the first place. What makes you think that the God that provided yesterday cannot provide today? No, I just heard it. You must build a house for your family. And you can afford it now for your family. You say, I'm going to wait because of things. I'm going to wait because of things. Don't get to the place where you don't have the house, you don't have the money. Build the house now. The God that gave you the means now for your family, is he dead? You'll be shocked that before you finish, you have much more than when you started. Why? Because you dare the situation, trusting your Father. Now, I'm not advising you to be wasteful. No. I'm saying your source cannot be affected by anything this side of heaven. He is the creator. Okay. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. I want to get there before I now come to start to conclude. Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. Okay. Hi. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I say to you, Jesus speak. God help me to put value on the words of Jesus. More than any other word I'm reading in the Bible. Every word is important. That is what's the key. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. Now, look at the lifespan. That beautiful petal, flower petals, you see. Lifespan is 24 hours. Very strong one, 48 hours. They are gone. And yet, your Father will take time to design and color and get it. That from a distance, you are attracted. Don't you think he can make you the attraction of your generation? What does it, I feel the fire now. What does it take him? Can I advise you, ladies? Please like yourself. See, it's a mirage and fallacy for anyone to make you think that by bleaching your skin, it's a lie. You are creating more problems for yourself. Don't bleach it. I'm not joking. Was it Pastor Blessing that was warning her one day? Was it last year? She said she learned that some people are swallowing some tablets now to turn white. Why will you be destroying your internal organs? For what? So that one man can turn 10 times to look at you. And by the time he turns 10 times, he now deceives you, distracts you, takes you away from your destiny course and creates problems for you. And then you still now have problems with your internal organs. What will go through your mouth, inside, to affect your skin? Don't you think it has passed through your kidneys and your livers? The real men are 7 footer. I understand. But for what God created me for, I don't need more than this. And all those in bogus, we are not in the same corner. Our destinies are different. They can't do for me what she's doing for me. They're not created to do that. I don't expect it from them. So why should I waste my time and my energy and my resources on what is going nowhere? I'm not saying they are not valuable. They are valuable for where God has created them and for what he has created them for. Does it mean you cannot marry a white woman? Who said so? If my destiny is defined that way, oh my goodness, I'll marry a tall white woman in spite of my height. See, what's important is to understand who you are. I used to have a big afro. And when the church started, I used to have a pattern here. Pattern. You know pattern? And most people, young people who were ministers, everybody was putting pattern. Everybody was putting pattern. You see them over there. Now when the hair started going away, okay. And can I be frank with you? I'm much more confident today than I was then. And that's why it does not matter whether I'm wearing $100 million attire. It's not what you are wearing, it's who is wearing it. No, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. But that's the truth. And that brings me to the conclusion of this message. See, here, in verse 20, I tore my Bible slightly there. Yes. 26, the last line. Are you not of more value than the sparrow, than the raven, than the bird? Are you not of much more value than the lilies of the field? Go back to chapter 10, where we started from. Are not two sparrows, 29, sold for a farthing, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. Therefore, can we read that together? You are of what? More value than many sparrows. So now we can get the mind of Jesus. Let me let her know her value. That will solve my problem. That's what Jesus was saying. So my question is this. What is your worth? Hello? What do you worth? Please, economists, I'm not talking of net worth. If I'm not talking net worth, what am I talking about? Self-worth. Somebody says, when you hear, what do you worth? What they think is your valuables. No, we are talking your value, not your valuables. They are two different things. It's for your value that God will do whatever he has to do. You are valuable. And because you are valuable in his sight, he will do what he has to do for all his valuable things. Somebody was talking, say, how do you determine the value of a thing? Asset managers. How? The price that somebody will put down for it. Yeah. The price that a purchaser will be willing to put down for that. Yep. So a plot of land. A plot of land. on the Badoo Express and a plot of land in Ekoyi. The value will depend on what the buyers want to give for it, right? So that's one. There's a second criteria. You say, what is it? Or criterion? What is it? If somebody, or the one that owned that thing before, you see this shirt? You see, a plot of land in Ekoyi is simply the most expensive plot of land in Lagos. True? Now, that same plot of land may be cheaper than ordinary shirt owned by Michael Jackson. The jotter that Abraham Lincoln used to remind him of his next day, ordinary jotter that is old, will cost much, much more. So you can now see that the worth of a thing is determined by, one, how much people are trying to pay, and what they're trying to pay will depend on who actually is selling it. So for God so loved the world. So what's your worth? No, let's face it. The problem is that we allow ourselves to be defined by what we do on earth. And so that creates a lot of problems. But 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, you are a chosen generation. God deliberately chose you out of so many. You see, man has limited options. God has infinite options all the time. But he chose you. Believe in me, he chose you. Now, it's not because it's numpty or Pastor Tyro. I will say this now. Those 4 years, I was just believing God, and I was thinking it could be this, it could be this. I said, God, I don't know. I don't know. If you change my, you know, that'll be okay for me. That is the way I live life. He said, what do you mean? I can't stay alone. Not because I'm a woman rapper. No. I'm just a social person. That's the truth. The way it is with children, it's like, so one woman will come and marry my daddy. So my girls didn't like it much. Pastor Tolu. So when a woman will be sitting around me once or twice, Tolu and Toby will be in a meeting. Not so much Jimmy, then later they'll call him in. He won't talk, we'll just be looking at you from a distance. Won't talk. They'll be the one talking. So, I forced her to do her master's. Not because she wasn't smart or she didn't want to do it. She just said, I can't allow you to be alone. I'm not going anywhere anymore. I'm going to stay in Nigeria. I said, you know what? I'm living my life already. I am living my life. And part of living my life is to make sure that you don't get stuck in life. Come on, go ahead. He said, no, no, daddy, no. I said, you will go in Jesus' name. So while she was preparing to go to school, I didn't help her. I said, go and apply for the school you want. She said, okay, I'm not going back to the U.S. That's all right. I'll go to Britain. Okay. So that 6 hours, I can easily come and go. Okay. So she went to do her master's in the UK. But before she went, one day, 2 o'clock, I'm not an early sleeper. Praise God. So some say that witches, they have their meeting at 12 o'clock at 1 o'clock. If you come to my house, you meet me awake. It's true. That was what Lofty was saying. South Africans, by 9 o'clock, they've gone to bed. Then everybody is sleeping. Then, So when she came, she said, somebody has changed her. Because sometimes I will be so tired I'll sleep off. Past 2, she will still be reading and writing. I said, won't you sleep? I said, I'm used to it now. I said, okay, enjoy it. God bless you. Yeah. So she came out around 2 a.m. She saw the television was on. I was hearing my music. I don't know how it happens. I'll be hearing everything at the same time. Maybe to replace the fact that there are no people around. Television will be playing. So when something catches my attention, I'll give it. If it's not interesting, it will still be playing. Something else is interesting. I'm reading or I'm listening to something. So all at the same time. So she heard the noise. She came out to the living room upstairs. He said, did you wake up? I said, no. I said, you haven't slept? I said, no. He said, when do you sleep? I said, like before. Just so, if I'm not here, you're the only one in this whole house. I said, yeah, that's what it means. She started crying. Say, Daddy, you must marry. His eyes on the sparrow. If you are believing God for a wife, well, sorry, for a husband, his eyes on the sparrow. Did you hear Pastor Aiti's testimony? Somebody say, please pray with me and cancel with me how my stomach can go down. She is saying, God, let my stomach come out now. I'm sure she will look at the person and say, hey, say my sister. There's nothing impossible with God, you know. You say, Lord, Toby, you want your belly to go down? God, let my own shoot out. For once. Beside you, everybody willing that their stomach will shoot out. They will shoot out in Jesus' name. Not shoot out unnecessarily. Shoot out for what matters. She said, no, you must marry, Daddy. I said, no, I will marry. Now, this, why am I saying all this? Before then, it occurred to me, I didn't know. I heard the story of one, I've forgotten his name, many years back, before I was still a rascal in the world, in the university. He was born in one end of the world, and somebody else was born in another end of the world, and one day they saw, and that was it, and they married the following day. Now, don't do that, oh. I beg you in Jesus' name. They were not Christians, so. And God has a way he does his thing. We will counsel you, please, know the man. Allow some time to really understand the man so you don't go and run into trouble. And they married for almost 60-something years. They died in their 80s and 90s. But, so, during that time, it just occurred to me, like, wait a minute. Can this person I'm going to marry be from the end of the world? I let it pass. Didn't bother me. Lo and behold, from the end of the world. Now, I said that to say this again. His eyes on the sparrow. So concluding, you are much more of value than the sparrow. So the issue is your value. Your value. Your value, your value. Jesus repeated several times. He said, don't you know that you have much more value? Everywhere man fails, particularly Christians, is because they've lost touch with their identity. It's true. That's all. If you see those who are running and so scared of economy, scared, it's because you've lost touch with who you are. The cattle of the thousand hills belong to your father. The silver is his, the gold is his. He can take you up and open one area that nobody has ever seen, and you'll be the richest man on earth. That's who he is. So what he's asking of you is absolute trust. As a matter of fact, you are wondering, why am I going through what I'm going through? Like God reminded me in the morning service, it's because it's a precursor to that better place in life that you belong to. Or to the best place in your life that you belong to that you are yet to see. See, that's why the trouble is. Oh, didn't Jesus say that my heart is beginning to be sorrowful? Oh, sorry, my soul is beginning to be sorrowful. And when the devil was doing it, it was like, I got him. His eyes are on the sparrow. You see, I was thinking about this thing, and I looked at the Great Commission. The very last sentence in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, say, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. That was how he concluded. Finished. That was the last thing he said. He hasn't changed it. I know in the name of Jesus, somebody is listening to me here today, whether here today or through the internet, that tomorrow your testimony. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. He says, we're calling a city. Cities you don't know will run to your aid. You are not applying to them, but they will let you rest. You are thinking 1, 10 will be slapping you left and right and center. In the name of Jesus. Why will I let anybody threaten you with death? Death is called destiny. When he says that you will see your children's children, the days of your life you will fulfill. You will see the twins' grandchildren. In the name of Jesus. There are certain things that we don't bother ourselves about anymore. Talking of your value. That is it with the children of God. How can you be the light? And when you come in, people will not be lightened. Your value is high. Is on the spiral. Glory be to God in the highest. As I close, Hagar was thrown out. But you see, the thing is this. Ishmael belonged to Abraham. And when Abraham was finding it difficult, God says, come on, let the bondwoman go. Let her son. The boy was 13. So he wasn't the baby. And there was no water. And the boy could not continue. See, women can be very strong. But she, nothing will happen to her. As long as her son was involved, she will carry on. She now left the boy, fainting and dying. Fainted and dying. He said, no, I don't want to see him die. He may, it's, the way it is, he will die. But I don't want to witness his death. She walked away. She felt like a lone sparrow. In the wilderness, the slave of the wife of Abraham. She made a mistake, really. She pulled it in her hand. She became rude to her mistress. The culture allowed what happened to give birth. It doesn't allow it for us in Christianity. I hope you know that. Okay. But the culture did not allow rudeness and pride. No. And so she was thrown out. So she was there. Guess what? She cried out to God. The angel of the Lord appeared. He said, he will not die. He will be a great man. He said, you know what? Look, there is a well there. His eye will always define protection, defense, provision. So from today, in the name of Jesus, relax. Men always ought to pray and not give up. He will talk to you from time to time. He said, you know what? He's not going to die. No, he's not going to die. Really? He said, there's a well there. But she had been there before. They'd been there before. There was no well. But there was a well. The boy did not die. The Bible says he grew up a mighty man and became a strong archer. And according to what God said, he was great. Fine. So there may be recession. There may be trouble. But I want to remind you again in the name of Jesus, you are of great value in the hand of the Almighty God. And in the book of, in that same chapter 6, when he will talk about the lilies, he said, oh ye of little faith. So it defines the lifestyle that he expects of us. A lifestyle of total trust. I mean total trust. In the name of Jesus. I struggle too sometimes in my life with this, but God always sees me through. And that's the truth. There are times that I get there and I'm like, how do I go? I say, God, but you see, is your testimony. I know it's my testimony, but it's much more yours. I didn't intend for it to be like this. But you know what he says to me? Take your next step. And I take it. Those who don't know would define me and define solutions and see all sorts. But at the end, they will rejoice with me. They will rejoice with you. I say in the name of Jesus, they will rejoice with you. Now, can you see that what is most important in our lives is our relationship with Jesus? And of course, our fellowships are key. Wow, his presence makes the difference. Like woman of God will say whether you are praying or you are reading the Bible, you are fasting or you are praising or you are worshiping, what is the essence? His presence. That's all. That's all. Bible, I'm in his presence. Praying, I'm in his presence. Worship, I'm in his presence. Fasting, I'm in his presence. That's what is most important. That's what makes the difference. From today, in the name of Jesus, like somebody will say, the best day of the rest of your life begins now. In the name of Jesus. You say, why did you say that? Because of what you know and who you are. His eyes are on the sparrow. He was in the prison. His name is Richard Brennan. And this woman said, I wrote to him every time just to encourage him, almost every month. Then the guy said, in this year's winter, in the prison, now he now said this when he came out. He said the winter was severe, terribly bad. He said he crouched up at the corner of his closet. He said there was nothing to cover. He said he had asked one of the wardens to do him a favor. They had brought a bottle. This hot water bottle. He said he had put it between his thighs to give him some warmth. He said it didn't exist. He said within minutes, it was cold and it was night. He said he got to a stage. He said he thought, I caused this for myself. Finally, I am going to die. He said, but God, you are the most merciful. I have given my life in the prison. And they tell me, and the Bible says, you don't leave. That to turn, that the table was made of iron. Whatever was there was iron. They were all frozen. The window was totally frozen. So at that point, God, just prove to me that you are with me. So at that point, the little window that would be like a window to allow for ventilation, he said he saw perched at the corner of that window from where he was shivering was a sparrow. Wow. Frozen. And it was all like that. One sparrow. He said he didn't know when he began to feel for the sparrow. He said he started weeping. That if I can feel this way, how much more this one? Said the sparrow was just there. Said, then I remember I asked God to show me a sign. I said, what does this mean? Said, the boy was thinking about the sparrow, his own thought about his death was taken away. And he was just wondering, will this sparrow die? Will this sparrow die? Now he wasn't thinking death anymore. Said, then all of a sudden, there was a wind. And he was like, oh my goodness, following the wind, the sun. And suddenly the sparrow, it was still frozen. The sparrow went, he was watching. It was warming up. Then he stretched. He said he hit him. He said his eye is on the sparrow. He said, I got courage. I stood up. I shouted, I will not die. He didn't die. He came out to write what I'm telling you. Can you hear me? You are not dying where you are. It's not the end yet in the name of Jesus. Your best moments are knocking on your doors.
His eye is on the sparrow. Is somebody hearing me?
Whatever followed you here today will be buried here. In the name of Jesus. Goodness and mercy will follow you out. In the name of Jesus. Favor will follow you out. In the name of Jesus. Say wisdom will fill you up as you go out. In the name of Jesus. I said those who used to frown at you will be smiling at you by force. In the name of Jesus. Because you are a covenant child of God.
Now, there are people here today. Thank you, Jesus. But this time next year,
thank you, Lord Jesus,
your story will be totally different. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I mean totally different. In the name of Jesus. You will be singing this song. I don't know how, but here am I. I don't know how, but you did it.
You,
at 50, instead of twins. Doctor said, no way for me. But then, here am I. In the name of Jesus. Can I shock you? They said it's tough everywhere. And now people don't invite, they don't even invite people anywhere. But believe me, from this congregation, there'll be a lot of international offers. In the name of Jesus. You say, why? How? There's something that is lacking all over the world. Resilience. The confidence to move forward when there's nowhere to step into. But that's what they will see about you. In the name of Jesus. They won't be able to explain it. They'll just say, we don't know what, but you have it. You have it. You have it. And they will be ready to pay anything for that. God will use you to liberate nations in the name of Jesus. Somebody is saying, I've been waiting for God for so long. Can you receive right now? In the name of Jesus, all over the hall, receive. Because you are saying, I want God to use me. I want God to use me. Like that man that was thinking death, and all of a sudden, he saw a sparrow. And he was feeling for a sparrow. Compassion filled him for a sparrow. He forgot his death. Every death that you have been thinking, you will forget in the name of Jesus. Every sorrow you have been dreaming of, you will forget in the name of Jesus. Every sorrow that has been drowning you, you will forget in the name of Jesus. Every lack in your life, you will forget in the name of Jesus. Whilst you are reaching out to help people, you will find yourself in an unusual abundance. In the name of Jesus. And that's what I'm saying. That grace that captures you to liberate people. Receive. I say in the name of Jesus, receive. I know you have needs, but receive. I know you have needs, but receive. In the name of Jesus. When your own problem ceases to be a problem. Because God is solving other people's problems through you. And you know, if you don't have what it takes, God cannot ask you to give it. Glory be to God in the highest. Your almost your whole married life of seeming barrenness. You know how many people you have lived? God has lived through that. Just one testimony. Just one.
Thank you, Lord.
Such will be your testimony in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And particularly at this time when the men are too overwhelmed. And they don't know where to go. God will give you supernatural wisdom. Peace in your home. Healing for your bodies. Your children will excel. In the name of Jesus. I say victory, from victory to victory will be your portion. Oh yes, of course it's clear. He always makes you to come triumphant in everything in the name of Jesus. It is well with you. I'll see you next year. In the name of Jesus. I will see you on top. I will see you winning. I will see you shining. I will see you glorious. I will see you prospering. I will see you wise. I will see you decked with favor. In the name of Jesus. I will see you pulling a troop
in the name of Jesus. He said, what do you mean? People that God will have through you liberated. I'll see you jubilating with them. In the name of Jesus. It is well with you. In Jesus' name. I'll see you with your triplets. I'll see you with your twins. I'll see you in your marriage. I'll see you in your next appointment. I'll see you victorious. In the name of Jesus. You know the way we are going to know where you live? The glory of God will rest upon it. The way we are going to know where you walk, the glory of God will rest upon it. The way we are going to know the community you reside, the glory of God will be seen there. Because his eye is on the
We know that you have been tremendously blessed by this message. For additional information and materials from Pastor Taiwo Odikoya, please contact us at the Fountain of Life Church, 12 Industrial Estate Road by PZ Industries, Off Town Planning Way, Ilukeju, Lagos. Visit our website at www.tfolc.org. Thank you. God bless you.